is under the new covenant through Christ. Paul says, in comparison to the new, the old just doesn't have any glory at all. And that's much more significant to people who lived back then and understood those things than we do today. Fulfilled expectation is wonderful, but receiving something unexpected has its own peculiar and wonderfulness to it as well. To have be the recipient of something that you didn't know really what it was going to be, that you really didn't know the nature and character of it, that you had some thoughts about it, but that your thoughts about it were partial, confused, darkened, distorted. And to find out in receiving something that you hadn't heard something about that is so much more wonderful and pure and joyful than you anticipated is another wonderful kind of thing. We're going to look at a couple of cases in Luke chapter 1 this morning. We're going to listen to some people and the recording of some people when they discovered that the expected one was present and coming. And then we're going to hear a testimony of a person who received something he didn't expect to receive, and he is also joyful. Luke chapter 1. It'll be quite a bit of reading for the next few minutes. But we're reading in the context of when Jesus came. Now in the sixth month, verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." And then listen, "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Why? Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary's question was regarding the impossible. The angel says, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, look, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a moment in this young girl's life. At that moment, she was the only one on this earth that knew that the Messiah was on his way, that the King of Israel was on his way, that the one who would sit upon the throne of David was on his way, and that the Most High, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was going to come upon her, and the power of the Most High was going to overshadow her and bring forth an offspring that shall be called the Son of God, because he will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Her response was, "I am your bondslave, O Lord. Be it to me according to your word." Be it to me. Be it to me in my body. Be it to me in my life. Be it to me according as you've said, O Lord. Bring it to pass. Now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, that's John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she, meaning Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth was very excited. Elizabeth was beyond herself. How is it that I have heard of the coming of my Lord, and that His very mother talking to me? How is it that I come so close? And how is it that the sound of your greeting causes my child to weep, to leap inside of me? Oh, blessed are you, Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. In other words, Elizabeth is saying, this is wonderful, this is marvelous, this is exciting, this is beyond comprehension. This is something I never expected in my life. This is something I never conceived would happen to me. I never thought was going to be part of my life. I've been barren for so long, and an angel comes and says, I'm going to have a child, and that's an unexpected blessing, and that has blessed me, and that has excited me. And all of a sudden now the mother of my Lord comes in, and when she says, hello, the babe in my womb leaps for joy. This is more than I can discuss. This is more than I can detail. This is more than I can express. I'm just excited. And I don't think I'm overplaying this for a moment. I've seen some of you ladies when you get together with good news. I've seen women excited by good news, unexpectedly good news, an abundance of good news. I've seen you get excited, and you do express yourself very vividly and very excitedly. Much better than I'm doing this morning. Because the soul gets excited when wonderful things occur to it, or the soul hears of wonderful news, or the expectations of God is fulfilled. The soul is excited. Those who are looking for what God intends to do is excited when He does it. Those that have confidence that God is going to do what He promises to do when He does it, they get excited. It is food to their soul. It is water to their soul. It is marrow to their bones. It is life. A reaffirmation, a rediscovery, a redemonstration of what has happened to them. And they see it in another person, and God is moving and keeping His word. It's exciting. It's wonderful. Blessedness. To know that your sins have been forgiven, and then hear somebody else, whether in great excitement or feeble declaration, saying, oh, I thank God. My sins are forgiven through the mercy and grace of God. Oh, the excitement that comes to my heart, reverberates in my heart, when I believe that somebody has known and does know the grace of God. When I believe that somebody does know the mercy of God and it has brought to them eternal life, it excites my soul. Moves my being. Well, Mary responds back to Elizabeth and says, verse 46, my soul exalts the Lord too. I added the two. My soul also exalts the Lord. My soul also raises Him up. My soul also sees Him as a high being that is worthy of praise. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. There's joy in her heart. There's joy in her heart. For He has had regard for the humble state of His bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Certainly. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Mary declares not only the blessedness of being a bondslave of God and an instrument of God and a means by which God is going to bring forth His Son in salvation, but Mary, right in the midst of that knowledge and that fulfillment, declares what is true about God. Holy is His name. Remember our study Wednesday night? God made a promise to Israel. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will put a new heart within you and a new spirit within you, and I will put my spirit within you. And everyone shall know me from the least to the greatest, and I'll write my law upon your hearts. We read that He said He was going to do this for His name's sake, that He would demonstrate that His name is holy among the nations. Mary says the same thing. Oh, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. Holy is His name. His name has not one bit of unrighteousness, not one bit of failure. His faithfulness has not one bit, not one degree of failure or slothfulness or slowness, but He does just exactly as He says. He is holy. His love has not tapered off since He made that promise to Israel. His love has not decreased since He made that promise to Israel. His love has not failed since He made that promise to Israel. He is holy. The character of God comes into her mind and heart as she is excited about what God is doing through her. She's also excited about God's character. Not only holy is His name, but His mercy is upon generation after generation. Every generation, one more generation, one more generation. His mercy is upon them and towards those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His God's mercy. As He spoke to our fathers, this mercy, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. My, what a wonderful declaration through the lips of Mary about God and His faithfulness, God's works, bringing down those rulers from their throne, exalted those who were humble. God has done what was necessary to bring about the fullness of time, that He can send His Son and the redemption through His Son. He has not let any ruler upon His throne stand in the way of His work, and He has not let any person in a humble position be left out of His work if that was the one to use. But He has raised up the humble to use them, and He's brought down the rulers who have stood in His way, that He is faithful to His word from generation to generation. He's keeping His word and His mercies, just like He promised, beginning with Abraham, to all of His offspring. It's here. It's now. God has done it. He has not been tripped up. He has not been brought down. He has not been stalled. God is doing His work, and now is the moment that He's doing it. This is what Mary is saying. And I physically, she is saying, I'm going to be touched by this. This is not an idea in the mind. This is going to be an activity in the earth. This very Messiah is going to be born through my body. It is not some kind of mystical idea of conceiving of a Christ and talking about Him. This is not a Christ person, a Christ Savior. This is the Christ, and there is only one Christ, and that is Jesus, the Son of God. God moves mountains, and nothing is impossible with God to bring forth His purposes in the earth. And so Mary brings forth her child, verse 57. And Zechariah He doubted that God was going to give him a son. That's the father of John the Baptist. Elizabeth is going to give birth to John the Baptist. So the angel shuts Zacharias' mouth so he can't speak. Until they finally come when John is born and says, what's going to be his name? And he wrote, his name is John. And then his mouth was opened, verse 64, and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Imagine the sight. Here's this Levite working in his temple duties. And they come to him and say, Zacharias, we have to talk to you by writing things down because they know that you can't speak. But what are you going to name this child? Sure, it's Zacharias, your only son. He said, no, his name is John, because that's what he was told to name him. As soon as he did this, his voice was loosed. His speech was loosed. He could talk. And the first thing he used his mouth for was to speak in praise of God. When God does a work in the earth, and when God does a work in an individual, their mouth has been shut because they've had nothing to say good about God. And their ways have been crossed by God, and they have been stymied. And God intends to do a work in them. So finally they yield to the will of God, as Zechariah said, and said, his name is going to be what they said it's going to be. His name is going to be John. His mouth is loosed. His heart is filled with praise. Him praising God. Verse 67. Here is his praise. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. It's accomplished. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, quote, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Third testimony, the third praise. Zacharias begins to praise God and thank God and praise God for his work and his faithfulness, and remembering his mercy and for the house of Israel and bringing to pass that which they have longed for, and actually going to come to pass. The forerunner of the Messiah is going to be his son. God has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us. What an exciting thing. What an exciting thing it was for him. Wouldn't you justify his excitement if you were there and you heard him praising God? Man and his wife come in. Hi, Zacharias, how are you doing? This is a wonderful day. My son's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and the Messiah's time is here, and his salvation is accomplished, and he's going to set our feet in the right path, and he's going to bring mercy to us just like God promised. This is a wonderful day. This is a day everybody's been looking for, and we're here to see it. We're going to be part of it. We're going to watch over our son. We're going to do God's work regarding our son, that he may be what God would have him to be. It's there. It's time. Messiah is here. His name is going to be Jesus. And it is time for God's salvation. Well, Jesus is taken 8 days after his birth to the temple to be circumcised. In chapter 2, verse 25. 8 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph go up to the temple to have this baby circumcised according to the law of the Lord. That was the custom for every child, 8 days old. Verse 25, chapter 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel." See what I mean? They were looking for God's consolation, God's salvation. This is one of those men. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What a testimony that God had designed and ordained that this particular man, who was looking for the consolation of Israel, would see it before he died. He gave him the privilege to know that he would not die until Israel's consolation had come. What a blessing. "And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God." He blessed God. "Oh, bless you, God. Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples. It's a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and it's the glory of thy people, Israel." I'm reading these accounts for the specific purpose that you might see in Scripture accounts of Mary, Elizabeth, Zacharias, Simeon at the time of the fulfillment of the promise that Messiah was coming, the accounts of people who, knowing the significance of Jesus coming, knowing the significance of what Messiah would bring, that when Messiah would come, he would be, in fact, have the Spirit of the Lord upon him, because the Spirit of the Lord would has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, that God has sent him to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. God has sent him to set free those who are downtrodden and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That was on the immediate horizon, and these people that we've looked at knew the significance of that. That these were not individual events happening to them as individuals, disconnected from the whole history and promises of God to Israel. They were tapped into the most significant thing God intended to do to Israel, is bring the redemption, and through it, in fact, a revelation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. These people were delighted, blessed, excited, and blurted out testimony of thankfulness, blessedness, and testimony to the work that God intended to do through the Savior. They just didn't bless God for letting them be instruments in His hands. But in recognition of what was going to come about through these two boys, they blessed God for the salvation that was going to come through them. They just didn't bless God, thank you God for blessing me, my blessing this day, for giving a son. But they blessed God for what was going to come through these boys. They didn't think that the blessings were intended to be just for them, but for the whole world. And they testified to that fact. And it was true. Those who were blind to God, blind to the things of God, Jesus brought them light. He also gave sight to the physically blind. He set the captives free through the mercy extended to them. He set them free from their guilt and bondage to sin. And He does so today. And He has so for 2,000 years to all who come to the living Christ, for He is alive today. He is setting these people and us free. He is a light of revelation to us, the Gentiles. And we have seen that light, and it is a great light. It is a wonderful light. the light of the knowledge of God and His great love for mankind and His great salvation through Jesus Christ. Of all the activities of mankind in the world, and there are great activities of mankind, there's a satellite that was shot up 25 years ago that's still going out. It's beyond our solar system. It's in some other solar system. 25 years it's been going. It travels half a million miles a day. By next year, it'll be so far away the signals can't even be reached anymore by our things that we listen to signals with. Man has done great accomplishments. But there's nothing like the accomplishment when a soul is bound in sin, it's set free. There's nothing like that. There's nothing that can measure that. There are no instruments to measure the liberty of a person who has come to Christ and he's freed from the guilt and the bondage of his sin. There's nothing that compares to that in terms of satisfaction of the heart and mind to know that things are well with you and God. That satellite will never reach the throne of God. It'll keep going until the day God dissolves the heavens and the earth and creates a new heavens and a new earth. But through Jesus Christ, God Himself comes and dwells within our very own hearts. It is a glorious coming through Jesus Christ. It is a glorious salvation. And it's glorious to talk about it. It's glorious to rejoice in it. Is glorious to declare it so. Is glorious to say so. Because it is so. Anybody say amen to that? And so this morning I have designed that we should listen to two testimonies by way of video. I'm going to hear a testimony of a lady, rather reserved lady, who had found a touch of God upon her heart and brought about within her a joy in the Lord, a relationship with the Lord that she'd never known. Another quiet lady, but you'll observe and see the reality of her testimony. She knows what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. Knows what it means to value souls. Knows the beauty and the joy of telling somebody else that there's Jesus. He's a Savior. And after that, you're going to hear a testimony of a man who's rather a little bit more excited, a little bit more outspoken. He has a different way of expressing himself than the lady, and the lady happens to be his wife. We'll listen to both of these testimonies and give you the opportunity to hear a present-day testimony of the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. He didn't come just to give salvation to those who were living with Zacharias and Simeon and Mary and Joseph. He is still giving salvation today, and it's a joyous thing. You're welcome to enjoy.